You just got to take a drink. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. Just take a drink. Hallelujah, amen. Just take a drink, man. Just drink and drink and drink. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, Lord, let us drink your word, God. Hallelujah. As we stay upon it, we stand upon it, God. Hallelujah. Ah. Father God, Lord, we just come before you right now, God, and reverence you. And let us never take this lightly. Let us cherish it. Let us cherish his presence. God, Lord, hallelujah. This is the scripture that I shared, the one before this, the one I said that people would have, it says that and they shall turn away. What are they turning away from? Turning away from the word. Turning away from his truth, turning away from the declarations, from what God has commanded, the words that God has declared that he's spoken, turning away from that, not being at that place. And he says, and they turn away their ears from the truth. Man, that's just right now. Let's close our eyes and just Father God, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray right now. Guard our hearts. Let your word slay anything that's not truth. Let it be cut down. Let it be cut down. Let our hearts be such in a place, dear God, Lord, that we have an ear to hear. Father God, Lord, forgive us of anything, to God, Lord, that God, Lord, that we've stood on that's not of you, God, Lord. I pray right now, to God, Lord, that we not be feeble, that we not be not attentive to hear, that to God, Lord, that we don't become lackadaisical, or we become lazy, but God, Lord, that we stand, hallelujah, God, Lord, that fresh and stirring, God, Lord, the word be within us, God. So I pray, Father God, right now, to God, Lord, forgive us, Father God. Let our hearts be turned to you, to God, Lord, that you can, God, Lord, that we can keep your word and your word keeps us. You keep us. We cherish it. I pray to God, Lord, for these ones right here, to God, Lord, these ones right this sitting this moment right now, that I feel just a fresh stirring of the fire for your word. Just a fresh breath upon them right now. Come on, just breathe that in right now. Just receive it by faith. Just say yes to God. Hallelujah. Just say yes to him. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, I just say yes to your word. I say yes to God, Lord. Hallelujah to your spirit, God. In Jesus' name. The scripture before this says this, and we've read it before, but it says, preach the word constant, in season, out of season. And it says to reprove. To rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Rebuke, exhort, reprove, stand with all long suffering and doctrine. Tell someone stand. Amen. All right. Well, let me just jump in this word. We're in Matthew. If everybody could just read Matthew with me as we just go through this. We're right here in 5, and I just want you to catch this. All right. I'm going to go quick and kind of lay some things out, because I just wrote some notes down here today that were just on my heart. There's some things that might have said before, but I just want you to catch it. Sometimes there's some things that you hear it and you catch it. You know what I mean? That you
They're caught. Amen. Can you say that? Caught. That I want. There's some things you got to catch. There's some things you just got to catch. You know what I mean? Like that even with the disciples, where Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." There's that even that saying, what he said to them was something that they had to catch in the spirit. Because naturally, when they say that, they're like, "What? What? That's weird." But anything that you hear sometimes the word of God in the natural is weird. But you need to hear it in the Spirit. So I pray that you're quickened with the Spirit of God. So here's where we are. We're in Matthew, and we did the blessed the Beatitudes, where that these are attitudes that we're to have, and that he says that we're the salt of the earth, and he goes through all these different things. And before I get into this, though, I want us to jump to Matthew 11, because I think it's powerful, because we cannot get a hold of the things that Jesus is about ready to tell these disciples. Now, I want you to imagine this, though. This is the talk that he had with his disciples before they went with him. These are some of the things that he told his disciples. Some of these things were just really, I mean, all at one time. I mean, sometimes we get pieces, and man, I just feel like the church nowadays, we're getting this vision of Jesus that fits me. We're trying to get Jesus to form into an image that we want him to be in. We are to move in his image and likeness. But we try to take Jesus and fit him in. If this doesn't work, let's put this here. This might be uncomfortable for people to hear. Instead of trusting the Spirit of God, instead of just trusting the Spirit of God to, you know, there's some things that you might say to somebody, or some words that we do it in love. I mean, everything's got to be in love, but you might say something that might disrupt that person's comfort. I better not say that. They're our best tithers. People go on with church and they quit causing people not to be comfortable, but they want to make sure their chairs are comfortable. They want to make sure everything's good. You got the right kind of coffee. I love coffee, so I'm not bashing. The right coffees, man, we got the best. We sell the best coffee in this church. Or we give them the best coffee that we give them. We got to do everything. We have the best programs that our worship and praise is comfortable, that we just do the lights just dim enough where you don't fall asleep. I'm just thinking of these things. That, you know, that you do this, you create this atmosphere that you're not sure whether it's the Holy Spirit or just your emotions. Whether or not that we're at a moment in our heart that I felt that when they were singing that song and the music quit, I thought to myself, he says, are you still going to worship me when the soundtrack goes off? When the music is gone? Will you still lift up my name? When you got to make the song up? When you got to sing the song that there, man, you don't know what to sing about, man. You sing a song that you got in your heart, that you sing unto God a new song. Because guess what? The enemy has tried to steal the song in your heart. But guess what? We're going to sing a new song unto God. I'm going to worship him with whatever that is. Whatever that is. Maybe I'm going through hell right now. Well, I'm going to worship God, that's going to be my song. Even though the David declared, even though I go through the shadow of the valley of death, and he began to declare these things, that became his new song. I want that to be my heart. I don't know how I got there. But listen, so this is what I want you to hear, that this is in Matthew 11:25. And it says, and at the time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father God, heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any of the Father save the Son, and he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. You ready? Come. Come unto me.
All you that labor, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So I want you to know, he says, learn of me. So how do you learn from a yoke? That word yoke is actually a declaration of God's word. Because remember, he says, listen, I used the scripture before. He says that let the word of God be upon your neck. Your neck is, it's that place that's with you that, you know, honestly, could you stand, Cal? I just want to give a demonstration. Because listen, when they would take slaves or they would take them, they would put a chain around their neck. You have no power when you have that. That you are led by that. Whichever way you go, you know what I'm saying? That you're turned by your neck. Turns you whichever way you're going to go. Thank you. But so he says, put it around your neck. So that word of God, hallelujah, that anointing of God, that even says in one of the scriptures, it says the fatness of your neck. That fatness always speaks of anointing. The choice meat would be the fat, the anointing. The anointing is of the Lord. And that fatness breaks the chains of bondage. So he's saying, take of me my yoke. So he's telling us this. I want you to catch this and grab this because it's powerful. Because we got to get this and understand this. Because he said that my yoke is easy. Amen? Is that what he says? He said, my yoke, take of me, my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is... I got a hard time sometimes with that. Come on, amen. Either he is not telling the truth here, or I'm looking at this wrong sometimes. Listen, that word rest, listen, this word rest here, take rest is this, living in faith. That rest is living in faith. It's that rest is a position of faith. It's a captivated place. It's a resting place. It's a place of that it's my position that I've decided to take hold of to stay in this place. It is the place of rest. It's faith. And listen, my position is in faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It says, and I will give you rest. He says, take hold of it. Proverbs 3:1. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures. Is this all right? I just want to build upon this real quick. Proverbs 3:1. I've been in this for a while. He says, my son. He's talking to his sons, his daughters, sons. But he's talking to us. Say, that's me. Are you a begotten of the Father? That word begotten means born again. I am born again of the Father. So he says, I am begotten. He says, forget not my word, but let thine heart, are you ready for this? Say, keep it. That we have to keep my commandments, that we have to keep them. There's a responsibility as sons. He's talking about sons, man. He's talking about us. He's saying, listen, you're my son. Jesus demonstrated what a son looks like. He kept the Father's word. He demonstrated it before us. This is the image that he took hold of, the image of heaven, and brought it to earth. This is the word of God, became flesh. He didn't forsake it, but he kept the word. He didn't conform to the world in its ways. Today, I drove past. My sister got a picture of it. I drove past a field, and there was like 5 cows and 1 ass. Biblically, an ass. So, but when I drove past, I looked at it, and
and that donkey looked at me. I kid you not, I'm telling you, he looked at me and he said, "What are you looking at?" I jumped up to the end and I stopped. I pulled upside down. I said, "Man, that's speaking to me." And God says, "That's the way you feel sometimes, huh?" "Yeah, man, God, I feel that way, man." He chose to show me an ass. Drove by and I looked and I seen them and they're looking at him and there's five of the others and looking at it and I'm just and the one just sitting up. Cal stood up and at that time he's like looking at the other one. It's like he was saying something to him. I said, "What are you doing here?" Sometimes the world, it feels that way, that you just don't fit in. See, because I'm not conforming, I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind by the Word of God. See, that Word of God. Now, I want to get this part. I want to get to this part. Make sure I get to this part before the end. But how we are transformed, how my mind's renewed, right, by the Word. So, there's a lot to say. I never have enough time. So, he says, keep the Word. That same word, and it says keep the word, is the same word as this right here. You ready? It's in, you find that same word in Genesis 1:15, or in Genesis, 2:15. It says, "And the Lord took the man, and he put them in the garden, and to say, to dress it, and to keep it." Say, keep it. So they were there from the beginning. God says, "Listen, I want you to cherish my word. I want you to cherish my son. I want you to come into covenant, man." Hey, listen, there's going to be other things that are going to try to grow in your life, that try to come up, that want to be planted, amen, that disrupt this thing. But I want you to keep my word. I want you to hold on to it, amen. I want you to sow it into the ground. I want you to hold on to it. I want you to nourish it. I want you to cherish it. I want you to take hold of it. I want you to protect it, because this is a partnership. It doesn't just go one way. It doesn't just flow one way. See, there's something there that sometimes we want God to have all the responsibility. But listen, in this relationship, it flows both ways. Come on, amen. That there's something. There's giving and receiving. That's this relationship. That's how it works. "Give and it shall be given unto you." So there's this relationship that God's looking for. He's looking for this even flow, this take and go and receive and bless, and this flow with God, that He wants to bless you, that He longs to bless you, that He looks for that. You got to know that God's longing to bless you. That's the heart of God. He's longing to bless you. He wants to bless you. But He challenges us to keep His word. To keep the word. That would look good on me, wouldn't it? So, are you all right? So, he said, keep it. So what did they do? They didn't. This has been my story all week. That just really, I felt like God, just from one person to another, that there's not that many that have... that's just been faithful with His word. I mean, He had Abraham, He had Isaac and Jacob. But all these ones, I mean, I began to look at the kings and look at all these kings that God just wanted them. He says, "Listen, man, I will bless you in your reign." And they did for a while, and then they began to build altars for other gods. They didn't keep that word. And I feel that God's just saying, "I'm looking for somebody, I'm looking all over the place for somebody to keep my word, to cherish my word, to kiss the Son, to kiss the Son." And He says, and this is what happened. So what happened was in verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 24, it says, So he drove them out, and he placed at the east garden of Eden an angel, and a flaming sword. We know in Ephesians, what is the sword? Say it loud. Word of God. You ready? He says, in which turned every way. Say every way. What was it doing? Wait, say it out loud with me. What was it doing to what? Keep. Read it. To keep the way. Listen. To keep the way. So many times we think that God, He brought them out. No. God let them out so that they had to grow through some things. But God, listen, here's the powerful thing. It was to keep the way. It wasn't for them not to come back in. No. It was there so that they didn't lose their way. This is for us to understand. Listen, how long do I feel lost? It's because I don't keep the way. If I find His heart is for me to come back, say, come on, hear the Lord saying, come back into my presence. Come on, amen. And keep the word. Come on. Come back into my presence. Cherish that word. Let it be nurtured within you. Come on. Let it be quickened within you. Let it be cherished. Let it grow up within you. Let it be quickened within you. Let it be nurtured within you. Let my word be revived within your very being. Let my word become flesh. I'm here to tell you, point blank, it's not easy to let the word become flesh within you. It's not always easy. But God is making a way. His word does the work. I just got to keep the word. I got to keep the word. Tell someone to keep the word. Is that all right? Does that make sense? It's keeping the word. It's just shine. That word sword is, whew, Jesus is the way. A couple things came to my heart right there, but listen, he says this. He said, come into covenant with my word. Gideon came in covenant with God's word. And it says, in that peace of God that passes all understanding rested upon him and caused him to do what he couldn't do on his own. Amen? See, the enemy wants to disrupt that. He wants to disrupt that word. He came into peace with God's word. He came in agreement with it. That word peace means rest. He came into rest with God's word. Peace. No more war. Not tossed to and fro, that there's a war. He says, but let there be peace. See, this is why we just really got to communicate with the Holy Spirit even more. That means, listen, when you're weak, listen, do you know that He is your advocate? He's your paraclete. Your spiritual aid is what that means. He's your counselor. You know what I mean? He's our counselor. Man, now listen, it is those moments that, man, you disrupt, you get disrupted. You got to get communicating with the Holy Spirit. Begin to let the Holy Spirit, listen, I'm struggling with this. My words, this believing this thing, this is the hard. So I'm asking you to quicken me, to strengthen me. Quicken me. Quicken me, quicken me, quicken my heart that I take hold of your word. That's John 14, real quick. I'm just going to look at this. This is because it's right here. This is where that scripture says it. John 14, something like that. It's John 14, 16 or 16, 14. 14, 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, and that He may abide, that you may abide with you. He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Cannot receive it. Has a hard time receiving it. He said, but here He is. He's the paraclete. He's your spiritual aid. I need a spiritual aid. Amen. That doesn't leave me. That's right there with me. That aid. Whew. He's not going to do it for you. but it'll aid you through it. Let me get to these parts real quick. All right? Speak the word. Jesus said this to the centurion, or the, what was his name? That he came and he said, my servant. He told him, just speak the word. It's as easy as just speaking the word. Just speak the word. Come on, amen? Just speak the word. 1 Peter. I just want to give you a couple. You can write these down and look them up later. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not with corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. How am I born again? What's it say? By the what? What is the incorruptible seed? Say it loud. He says, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Deuteronomy 30. You all right? Deuteronomy 30, 10 through 14 says this. It says, and if thou hearken unto my voice, the Lord thy God, keep thy commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of law. And if thou turn unto the Lord, repent, that word means to repent, and to turn, thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for the commandments which I command you, are you ready for this? Here's it says it again. It's not just that I'm not picking and choosing words. What does it say? Command you this day. It is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. Tell someone it's not hard. It's easy. He says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down for us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that we should say, who shall go over to the sea for us and bring it back to us, that we may hear it and do it. He says, but the word is very nigh. It's in your mouth. Say, it's in my mouth. And in thine heart, that thou may do it. So you've got to get a change in my mind to know, God, Lord, your word is given to me, that I can hold it in my heart, that I might do it. That I might do it. I don't have to question it. I have to wait for it. I don't have to. No. I just have to do it. I got to declare it. I got to speak it. Come on, amen. I just got to speak God's word. Is it as easy as that? That's what God says. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to stand on it. And I got to keep declaring it. Because there's that moment within our lives. There's this thing that goes against faith, that disagrees with it. It doesn't, the world can't accept it. Come on, amen? The world can't accept it. And I got to shake that off whenever that is, because that's the world talking. Come on, that is the flesh speaking. And I got to hear God's, it's easier sometimes to hear the flesh. Just like, do you remember Nahum, whenever he was standing there? Remember his name with the, where he was leprosy, he dipped in the water. Naaman. Remember Naaman? He came up and his servant said, hey, there's a prophet. Just go hear what he has to say. He went to the and he stood there and he stood before him. He says, go dip in a Jordan. I think it was a Jordan. And at the time it was dirty. And he said, there's a lot of better places for me to go dip in. Can I go there first? And his servant said, his servant. See, it was the servants that hurt. The Bible says that it's easy for the pride and those ones that are high up to hear it, but the servants are here. I want a servant. I want to be at a place where I'm humble enough that, man, I'm not arrogant. That I'm not a place of myself, thinking I don't need God. I don't. I'm not desperate for this word. God, I can't live without it. I am desperate or I will die. Dry up. And he says, listen. He says, this is easy. This isn't that hard. Just dip in the water 3 times. 7 times, whatever it was. 7 speaks of Jesus. In the what? What was he dipping in? In what? In the water. Right? Dipping in the water. The word water is the word of God. So there's that thing there. He says that I could go to that place and take hold of that. And he says, and if heaven and earth, he says, but it is the word of God is nigh and it's in your mouth. It's in my mouth. Every time, this is what's hard sometimes. Do you know sometimes that living outside of the Word of God, when I'm living outside of faith, it's sin. That's the simplest way to put it, literally. When I'm not living in faith, I'm living in sin. Being real. This is how much I need God's Word to guide me, direct me, and to lead me. The Spirit of God to bring it alive within my heart. Because guess what? I could go astray. So I got to take hold of it. He says, listen, it's easy. Come on. That my Word of God, it'll drive you. Come on. It'll be like you take the reins and you rein it back and forth. That I'll rein your heart. That what happens is you begin to submit to it over and over. That all of a sudden it'll become to be easier. Like I said Saturday night, that the way becomes easy. At first it's hard. Come on, sometimes it's hard. But he says the way becomes broad. You become free in it like you've never been before. But here's the thing. When you first go in, that sin, what it does is it confounds you. Listen, when you're walking in the Word of God and you walk outside of it, you become uncomfortable, you become convicted. Why? Because it's the Word of God that you're living outside that Word. And that Word convicts you. When you do something wrong, you know it's wrong. There's that moments where that man you'd rather hate than love, you'd rather yell than you'd rather do this, you'd rather you'd rather get frustrated than keep your peace. Whatever those things are, that's living outside the Word. That's when it gets hard. Come on, am I just being real? He says born again. He says. And he says, so we said that, he says, but born again by the Word of God. How hard was it to get saved? How hard was it to get saved? Help me tonight. How hard was it? It wasn't hard at all, was it, Beth? It was easy as you speak it, Father God. Father God, come into my heart. It's easy. It's like honey. It's like honey on my lips. It's easy. But life becomes better when his words don't guard my mouth. Life becomes better when I'm not letting his words guard me. It's a fight. Together to hold on to the Word. Look at it that way, man. You got to look at it and know. Listen, Ephesians, somebody look up real quick for me, Ephesians 5. Where's it at? Hang on, let me look. I got it right here. I got to give this to you. Ephesians
Ephesians 5:26, that's what it is. You there? Somebody read it real quick. Read it loud. Go. Wow. Say it again. Say it real loud. Say it like you're praying. Who's he washing? Huh? The bride. Sanctify and cleanse it. The bride. By the washing of the word. You okay? Listen. When you went into the outer court, there was the brazen altar where that there were sacrifices, where they sacrificed the lamb. That was a picture of Christ dealing with what? My sin. So that I could come into. What was the point of it though? So that I could come into His presence. Do you know what God made when He gave Moses the picture of the tabernacle? Think about this. He gave Moses a picture of heaven that he wanted on earth. Build it. See, Jesus ultimately brought it, heaven to earth. He was giving a demonstration. There's a lot to get into this, but here Moses went up there. He got a picture of heaven. And he says, listen, here's what I want you to build first. This is first, the mercy seat. He says, I'm going to deal with their sin with my grace. I'm going to deal with their sin with my grace. Because when they know the goodness, when they just get a picture of it, when they believe my word that I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. That's who I am. That I want to bless them. I want to pour my benefits upon them. Whenever time that might be, come on, amen. Whenever that moment might be, the blessings of God be poured upon me, amen. That it might be poured upon me, that I stay faithful to that place. He gave a picture of it. He says, and I want you to walk in this mercy place, but we're going to deal with sin. Listen, he could have just wiped this out, but he said, no, I'm going to walk you through this thing. I'm going to walk you through this thing. I'm going to give you a picture of how I want heaven on earth. And I'm going to send my son. But first, I'm going to do it in the natural. And I'm going to bring a sacrifice that you're going to sacrifice it. And that blood will deal with your sin. It'll take it away. Now, we know that it only took it away for a year. Jesus ultimately took away the sin. So he dealt with sin. Remember, John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So here, the thing that's beside it was a laver. After sin was dealt with, say it's dealt with. There was water. There was a basin of water. And it was made out of brass mirrors from the women. A reflection of heaven. Remember the Lion King? We looked into that. That was from the tabernacle. That was a picture. Remember seeing his father? How am I going to see the father? By the washing of the word of God. By the renewing of my mind. By being sanctified, set apart by his word. By the cleansing. Yeah, but I thought sin dealt with it. It did. It took it away. But I want you to hear something. I am in this world. And there's a lot of garbage that comes on me. See, these priests were to take their hands and wash. But it would be poured over their hands. They wouldn't just. It'd be poured by the washing of the Spirit of God. Out of your bellies will flow rivers
says, I'm dealing with this. I'm cleansing it. He says, you're going to get contaminated. I'm telling you right now. Listen, I want you to hear this. Someone's going to tell you something negative against God's word. How do I deal with it? By the washing. Holy Spirit, wash me. Wash me. When I begin my day. When I'm done with my day and I come back and everybody has told me their sob stories, their heaviness, that God, Lord, I'm not meant to cave, but I'm going to take your yoke. Because it's easy. Cleanse me. Whatever that doubt is, whatever that might be. And then you go into the prison. And when you come back out, you wash. When you go in, you wash. When you come out, you wash. Just keep washing. Perfection of the bride, that word of God washes me, cleanses me. Listen, I'm done. In that day, how many of you guys know that this is the day Jesus died, the day that he talks about when we say this is the day the Lord has made, that day that God has made was the day that Jesus gave his life and rose again in 3 days. So in that day, are you ready for this? Hold on to your seats for a second. You ready? Just pretend you're excited for a second. In that day, this is Zechariah 13:1. In that day, you shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's you, for sin and for uncleanliness. To wash it away. Guys, I want you to look at this picture. How was Eve brought forth? By what? By the rib. Eve came out of Adam. How did God birth his church, his bride? Same way. When Jesus was on the cross, guys, hear this. He was on the cross. They took the spear and they blasted it. They pierced his side. And out of him came blood and water. It was by his bride. Was brought forth by blood and forgiveness, but by the washing also of the word. That it was formed at that moment, came alive. At that moment, his bride. We are the bride of Christ. So out of the word, hallelujah, oh my goodness, out of his word, he gave everything that we could partake of him. Everything. Everything that you see. That sometimes you go, listen, do you know that God gives all these things? I was talking to a young kid. He's in reading Deuteronomy. I said Deuteronomy because if you read it outside the Spirit, it's called Deuteronomy. Bunch of do's and don'ts. It's hard. And I sat in my car with him yesterday. I said, listen, I said, you cannot read this outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I said, but by the Spirit. By the Spirit of God that will quicken you. That we read this, we understand. I want you to know something. When you begin to read all these places about Deuteronomy, we even begin to see all these things that Jesus did, all the detail, all he went through, all these things through Exodus, through Leviticus, and all these orders and all these things, was all this stuff. Was it to show me how bad I was? No. He was showing us to bring us to a place where that we were so stubborn from generation after generation after generation, not taking a hold of him, that we did not get it. We did not get the picture that, listen, you can't do this on your own. Even as Jesus stood there, the Sadducees and Pharisees were still believing that they were above, and they got a hold of this thing, that they were superior to everybody else. And Jesus says, no, you don't got this.
Jesus came for us. That we see the Old Testament. We see the law. We understand that the law was bringing us to a place where that we cry out. It dealt with everything. Everybody. Every sin. Every adulteress. Any murderer. All these things. It dealt with it. It showed it. Listen, you cannot get to God without a Savior. And that you would come to a place in your heart, you would say, I need a Savior. Robert, I need a Savior. I need God's Word. I need Him. I just pray that that made sense to you tonight. We never have enough time. But I love the details of the Word of God. Just, and my point was that, young man, as I told him, I said, just start reading Matthew, Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it and just start. Sometimes, you know, I just go back and I just start reading it again. Because I need to be reminded of the Word and of what God looks like. I need to sometimes, you know, that's why that series has just really touched my heart. Because when you see it with your eyes, the woman at the well, I was crying, weeping. She was so excited. You've seen it. You hear it. But when you look at it, when you see it, it comes alive. And you, my goodness, and man, the Spirit of God just getting on top of that thing and cheering it on and saying, yes, that's it. That woman believed that Word. He was the Word. She believed it. And she ran off without worrying about what anybody else said about her. With such a conviction within her, it started a revival. Revival. Guys, can I say something? Yeah. God picks out people. Say, man, listen. I'm going to bring you into this place to stand in something that other people aren't standing in. So that you could go out, that your life will shine. I want to partner with you. I want you to come in agreement with my Word and then go. That's how revivals begin. When you fall in love with the Word, Jesus, like never before. Father God, right now, breathe right now. God, Lord, just a desire like never before into this church. I pray every pew that's empty right now, Father God. I pray to God, Lord, hallelujah, for a stirring, God, Lord, as they sit to God, Lord. I pray for quickenings of your Word, God. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that this Word shall not go. It shall not fall void, hallelujah. It will not fall empty. It will not fall to the wayside, hallelujah. But God, Lord, that Word will be received, God. Every word that we declare, God, Lord, for your glory, for your name, God, Lord, as we declare your name, God, we are here for one reason, God. I'm here for one reason, God, Lord, not for my ministry or for who I am or for our names, God, but for your name, hallelujah. Not for the Kaufman name, God, but the name of Jesus, God. I want you to be glorified with everything within me, God. God, Lord, we set our hearts aside to you, Father God, right now. We set our hearts aside to God, Lord. Give us the strength, God, Lord, to stand. When we're weary, that we stand in your Word, God. That we stand, God, Lord, and our hearts become refreshed, knowing that this is easy. It's nigh in my mouth, hallelujah. It's nigh upon my lips, hallelujah. It is the fruit of my lips. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.